Welcome to this week's Moonlight of Emuna, Parshas Tazria, coming close to the Yontif of Pesach. So we're going to try to connect those ideas. This week's learning should be Zchus for Refuah Shleima for Chana Mash Bas Vilcha, Shmuel Shneir Zalman Ben Chavachav, Menachem Mordechai Ben Ofira, Elin Lishmas, Heni Bas Chil Mechel, and Ratz Bas Menachem Mendel. So where do we see a connection between Pesach and Parshas Tazria? Parshas Tazria is a very technical Parsha dealing with Tumah and Taira, purity, impurity, and different diseases of Tzaras. So let's see if we can connect. So there's one of the more famous lines in the Haggadah. One of the things that we always discuss is Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "Kol shloi amar shloishet dvarim elu baPesach. Whoever does not say these three things on Pesach, lo yotzei yedei chavasei, has not fulfilled his obligation on Pesach. Ve'elu hena, what are they? Pesach matzah umarar." Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And many have asked, including Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and others, have asked that it seems that the order is out of order. Rabbi Gamliel should have said, if you want to tell the story, right, we know that the mitzvah of Pesach Nai is to tell the story of Pesach, tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, talk about the greatness of the Gula. So Rabbi Gamliel should have said, Ve'elu hein, Maror. First was Maror, because we know Maror represents the fact that the Mitzrayim embittered the Jewish people's life. The Haggadah goes on to explain what they're all for, and explains that the Maror is to recall the way that the Mitzrayim embittered our lives. Chronologically, that was first. The first Mitzrayim embittered our lives. Then we should say, so that's what the Maror represents. Then we should say the Karban Pesach, because that represents Hashem, as the Haggadah explains, skipping over the Jewish firstborn, killing the Egyptian firstborns, and killing Pesach. Hashem skipped over the houses of the Jewish people by Makas Bechiris. There's the Pesach. And then, when we were leaving Mitzrayim, we had the Matzah, which reminds us, we know, when the Jews ran out of Mitzrayim, as the Haggadah explains, that the dough didn't have a chance to rise, and that was actually after they were leaving. So chronologically, he should have said, Ve'elu hein, Maror, Pesach, u'matzah. Right? That's the way it should have been. That was the order of things. First, the Egyptians embittered our lives. Then Hashem skipped over the houses of the Jewish people. Pesach, that he skipped over the houses of Jewish people, killing the firstborn Mitzrayim. And then comes the matzah when we were actually leaving Mitzrayim. So if the idea is to tell the story, to recall the story of Mitzrayim, it seems like Rabbi Gamliel's is out of order. So somebody gave me a sefer, actually it was at a wedding, the recent wedding of Yitzi and Daniela Marciano. They gave, or at Sherev Brachas, I don't remember, was it the wedding or Sherev Brachas, a sefer called Masas Moshe, and I saw a very interesting idea, a way to explain this. So he says that while it's true that the Maror comes to remind us of the way that the Mitzrayim embittered our lives, But once we had Pesach and Matzah, we have a new understanding of Maror. So really, how did Rabbi Gamliel list these? He said Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Really, what's out of order? Maror should at the beginning. So it should have been Maror, Pesach, Matzah. Pesach and Matzah are in the correct order, right? But Maror is, instead of being at the beginning, Maror is at the end. So he says that the reason is because once we lived through Pesach and Matzah, then Maror takes on a different meaning, and it moves from the beginning to the end. And I'll explain. Once the Jewish people lived through Pesach and Matzah, what does Pesach and Matzah represent? Pesach and Matzah represents, Pesach was Hashem skipped over the houses of the Jewish people when he punished the Mitzrayim, and he took and that was the beginning of the freedom, right? And then the freedom was bechipazon, was rushed, was a quick right. The people didn't have enough time to bake bread. So Pesach and Matzah show us the Geula. They represent the Geula. They are there. Pesach and Matzah are there to reinforce the fundamentals of Emuna in Hashem, and knowing that Hashem runs everything, that everything, the Hashkacha Pratis of Hashem, that everything that happens in our lives is from Hashem and for a very specific reason and for our best, right? As we've discussed many times. So once we have Pesach and so before that night of Hashem jumping over our houses, Maror was the embitterment of our lives under the rule of the Mitzrayim. But once we experienced Pesach and Matzah, that reminded us, that reinforced, that showed us that everything that Hashem does, that everything is from Hashem, and that everything is designed that way. Now we understand Maror differently. Now we understand the Maror that we went through, the years of Gullus, the difficult years, the hardships that a person goes through in life, we understand them differently. Because before we learned the lessons of Emuna from Pesach and Matzah, it's very difficult to survive, to endure these difficulties and these challenges that every single person has. But once we have the Emuna of the Pesach and the Matzah, then it becomes much easier to deal with the hardships. Once we've experienced the Pesach and the Matzah, now we have a different way of understanding, of seeing the difficulties in life. The difficulties that the Jewish people went through Mitzrayim, the difficulties that every single person goes through in their lives. Right? We don't, instead of looking at them, very often a person looks at life in general, the way the human condition is that we look at life, and sometimes we say, okay, we have to go through something difficult, and we can get through that in order to get to the goal, right? So I have to go through something uncomfortable so that I can get to the good thing at the end. That's the standard way of looking at difficulties that lead to good, right? Very often, difficulties don't lead to a good that we see. But let's say we're talking about some kind of a difficulty that works out well for the person at the end. So the way that a person will typically look at that is, I had to get through this difficulty so that I could have the good. He gives the example, like a person is going through a dark cave. The idea is that he's hoping that it's very uncomfortable right now, and he's worried about what animals are in the cave and whether he's going to hurt himself or some rock is going to fall on him. But his hope is that he'll reach the light at the end of the tunnel, right? And he says, I would have been better off if I never went into this cave. But now that I'm going through the cave, okay, at least I hope that there's something good at the end of it. That's the standard human way of looking at difficulties. But that's not the correct way of looking at difficulties. The proper way is that the going through that dark cave itself is what brings him to the light at the end. He wouldn't appreciate this light at the end if he hadn't gone through that. If there wouldn't have been this cave, right, then there would be no light at the end of the tunnel. It's not that I had to get through this so that I could have the good thing. It's that only because I went through this was I able to get to the good at the end of the tunnel. It's the difficulties and the hardships themselves that build the person and strengthen the person to be able to receive the great light at the end, the great geula. So geulus, it's not just that, oh, we had to go through geulus, but okay, now it's geula, so everything worked out. No, it's that we couldn't have had geula without the geulus. And he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, who says that, I'll read you the words, it's just two lines, Shabbateach b'Hashem Koroi, somebody who trusts in Hashem, has betochen Hashem the way he's supposed to, even when he's found, Gam kishud nimtza b'soy chatzara v'akoshi, even when he's found in the suffering and in the difficulty, who maven v'yodea, he understands and he knows, Sha'akoshi v'akoshech hem atzmam, that this difficulty and darkness are themselves hasiba lahatzala. They are the reason, the cause of his rescue, ul'or, and the light sheyavoyu achakach, that will come afterwards. And he says, "Ki ha'yia ha'choshech sibas ha'ira." The darkness is the reason for the light. It's not that I had to get through this and now I have light. No, I only was able to understand to arrive at the light because I went through that darkness. If I hadn't sat through the darkness, I wouldn't be able to have the light. I wouldn't have the kelim, I wouldn't have the vessels to be able to receive the light. I wouldn't be able to be there. The Jewish people had to go through the difficulties of Mitzrayim, and they were terrible difficulties. But those difficulties is what purified them to be able to, it strengthened them, it turned them into who they were in order to be able to receive the light of Hashem, the light of the Torah. And I'm sure everybody knows these in examples in their own lives, right? Even we can take a simple example of the person who's exercising. It's not that, oh, I'll get through the exercise and then I'll be stronger, then I'll be faster. That is what makes him stronger and faster. It builds the person into the person he is. And if a person goes through life this way, so then he can go through all of the difficulties and all the challenges with joy and much, much easier, because it doesn't get him down. He knows, I'm in Hashem's hands. Everything Hashem does is for the best. And therefore, if this is something difficult I'm going through in life, it's something that's building something in me. It's going to give me better capabilities. It's going to give me better talents afterwards. It's going to allow me to achieve greater levels than I would have had I not gone through this. Without the Jewish people, right? This is what Hashem promised Avraham Avinu in the Bris Ben Absarim, that your children are going to go into Gullus. It's going to be difficult, but that's what's going to turn them into a nation, right? We came down to Mitzrayim as a family. We left Mitzrayim as a nation. That was the process that we needed to go through. It's not just something we had to get past, but this is what builds us into that, into those people. And I think this connects very well with Parshas Tazria. Parshas Tazria opens up with the pasuk, with the psukim of a woman, Isha ki Tazria v'yolda zachar v'tomas shivas yom nidas doisa titma, right? It says that a woman gives birth. So first of all, we know childbirth itself is an example of this, right? The mother, the greatest joy of a mother in the world is bringing a child into this world. When the day, the happiest day, or one of the happiest days of a mother's life is the day she gives birth. But she went through a difficult 9 months, and she went through a difficult few hours in labor. They were very difficult, very painful, very, very, part of the reason the carbon that she brings in this parsha, Chazal tell us, is because she said some things that she didn't mean. She swore, or she said some things that she didn't mean about the pain that she was going through. It's very difficult. But ask any mother if she would undo all of it. But there's no way to come to that childbirth without going through those difficulties. The difficulties of the childbirth, the difficulties of the pregnancy and the childbirth is what allows the opportunity for a child to come into this world. It's not just, oh, I have to get through this and then there'll be a child. This is what is building a child. For 9 months, the child is growing inside the mother's body. The process of the child leaving the mother, the comfort of the mother's womb and coming into the world, that's part of the process of what allows the child to live. So the greatest thing that a human being creates is another human being happens only through those great difficulties. And the whole parsha really talks about tumah, the process of going from tumah to tahira. It's always going through a process. But let's say we know, for example, the metzora, it's because he spoke lashon hara, and then he gets secluded for 7 days or sometimes for longer, right? That process is so that he doesn't go back to his old ways. If we just let him out right away, we could just skip to the light at the end of the tunnel. So he's not going to learn his lesson. He's not going to build himself. He's supposed to sit there in seclusion for some time to think about what he did, to think about how he needs to improve his life, to think about what he needs to do differently. That process is what makes him a better person at the end of it. So really, this whole parsha is the same as the whole lesson of Pesach. And therefore, it's Rabbi Gamliel listed as Pesach Matzah Umarar. Pesach Matzah Umarar, because Marar, once we went through Pesach Matzah, now we realize that Marar is not just something we had to get through to get to Pesach Matzah, but Marar is part of the process. It's also part of the geula. We couldn't have gotten the geula that we got to without the maror. So we put Pesach and matzah first, because with that perspective, we appreciate that even the maror, even the most bitter times, was also part of the process of geula. That's what allowed us to get to the geula. And he points out that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter even makes the point that really the geula was not just the end of the story, the last chapter and the conclusion of the Shibud, but really it was what caused the geula. Why? Even though the Jewish people, we know, were on a low level of tumah, and they suffered terribly, and they for sure had that their averus far outweighed their mitzvahs. So how is it possible that they were able to be redeemed? How did they get this right to be redeemed if their averus, if their sins, far outweighed their merits? So the idea is, and this is a concept based on Chazal in Avos Reb Nosson, that when a person does a mitzvah, does something good through pain and suffering, it weighs well more than the averus that he did easily or the mitzvahs that he did easily. Therefore, while their mitzvahs in Mitzrayim may have been much fewer than the averus that they did, but they were so much more meaningful because it took such self-sacrifice, it took such difficulty, they went through such difficulty of each of those mitzvahs. Doing that mitzvah with the tzar, at the time they might have thought, why is it so hard for me to do this mitzvah? But that's what brings about the geula. It's the pain and the suffering that sends these things to higher levels, that creates the ability to reach these higher levels. And therefore, the maror, which represents the enslavement and the bitter times in Mitzrayim, is not just something that happened first. It's the cause of everything. But we only could see that. We only see that if we have the proper Pesach and Matzah glasses on. The glasses where we recognize that everything's from Hashem. When we see the Geula, we recognize that all of that was also great. And therefore, it moves from the beginning of the chronological order to the end, because we don't see the real message of the Maror till after we see the message of the Pesach and the Matzah. So with that, I wish you all a great Shabbos. It should be a Shabbos that nobody should go through any suffering, and the suffering of Klal Yisrael should end, and we should see the Geula Amitis, and we should understand what all of these tzaras that Klal Yisrael have gone through, and every individual that has gone through, we'll see the ultimate purpose and how they created the geula. This suffering that we're going through as a nation right now is creating the geula. It's not just something we have to get through, it's creating the geula. And therefore, we should see this resolved very quickly with the geula, just like on Pesach. It was b'chipazon. It was instantly. It happened in a rush. Hashem should show us this gula also. We know that Nisan, that we're now a few days into, is the month of b'nisan nigalu, b'nisan sidin ligal, that in Nisan we were redeemed, and in Nisan we will be redeemed again. Hashem should let us see that very quickly in the very near future. I wish you all a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos.